Hey, good evening, everybody. John and Risotto here, along with Jorge Batista. We're very excited today because, as some of y'all know, or hopefully all of y'all know, because we talk about it all the time, but George and I are musicians. We played in bands. So whenever we have a band on in the house, we are so excited because it's our element. It's something that we love. Soul Chess is in the house. We're going to have a great time tonight. So please hang on tight. Don't go anywhere. Rock and roll. I like how I said rock and roll, and then it's ding 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 ding. Anyway, but that's our rock and roll to me. I like that stuff. Right. So Soul Chess, like I mentioned, they're a local band here in Nashville that I saw at somewhere when I first arrived to Nashville, and I was like, damn. So I just took them like a million pictures. They were really energetic and it was just really a lot of fun. I went to go see them again. Again, just a great performance, and very excited that they're here today. And George is going to tell us a little bit about Soul Chess.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. Well, yes, Soul Chess, again, is a band out of Nashville, Tennessee, that defies the way you typically think of as Nashville music, consisting of members from widely varying backgrounds. The band has a sound that is the epitome of musical fusion, from tight rhythms and strong melodies to sweeping melodic bass lines reminiscent of funk and progressive rock, which I love, by the way. These defining features make up their expansive sound that is packed with energy and genre blending, comprised of four guys, each of who provide a different spark to each song. Soul Chess have begun to get a reputation for putting on a great show and giving every show their all, and we are excited to have them on the show today.
That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring them up because there's I got a lot of work to do right now. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Soul Chess to the show. Very excited, guys.
Yeah. What's up?
All right. We're here. All right. Show, guys.
Rock and roll.
I was dancing to it. I don't know if anybody else. I was dancing to it.
I always dance to it, man.
Yeah. Thanks you so much for being on. We really appreciate you guys. Like I mentioned, you know, and actually I talked about you guys on another show. I can't remember what show it was, but I mentioned that I saw a band here in Nashville, and they were just full of energy, but it was the thing. I'll just say this because I do sometimes talk a little bit too much and George has to shut me up. But the thing that I was really, really impressed was that, listen, you know, you go to a band and you see a band, and, you know, George and I have seen 1,000 bands, and you go there and you kind of like, no, okay, that's a rock band. That's a jazz band. That's a heavy rock band. That's a thrash band. That's it, you know. And when I was seeing you guys, I was like thinking, I was like, man, these guys are just a really good band. Like the fusion thing is perfectly blends what you guys are doing. It is a sound, you know what I mean? Like it is a thing, but it has the rock, it has the R&B element, you know, that Darian is like amazing, and it has the jazz elements, it has the fusion, it has so much stuff. So I'm gonna ask first, so you guys go around, you guys can introduce yourselves and say the instrument that you play, and then we're gonna start with some questions and some badgering.
Well, we can do front of the band to the back of the band. So who's the front man?
Oh, no.
That would be me. I am Darian.
Man with the bling.
I am all about presentation and kind of distract from this madness, but it's a beautiful madness because
it looks good. I like it.
Artistry and
creative
things and that kind of stuff. But yes, I am the front man. I am Darian Childress, and my voice is my instrument. I sing, and I just, as these aren't my words, but people say, I just leave it all on the stage, and I'm just, that's what I'm here to do. I perform, I'm an entertainer, and I'm serious about my craft. And when you have great people behind me and with me to bring that extra level of energy on top of what I already have, that's what I'm here to do, and that's what they help me do. So yes, I am the front man.
Awesome. Nice. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I guess I am the next part because I'm the guitarist, I suppose. on the icing on the bass and the drums cake, I guess. musically speaking, anyway, yes, I'm Chris Goodyear, guitarist, programming producer,
man of many hats.
Yeah, I do a bit of everything. But I'm a lead guitarist, but I also do all that sort of production too, and a lot of writing too. But we all write together, but that's pretty much what I do.
Cool.
Yeah, and so I'm Jason, and I'm the bass player, obviously. And I was just saying before, bass players exist, okay? We are part of the band. Everyone always says, they're like, you don't really count. But no, we count. We're very important, okay?
Yeah.
I'm commanded by Jamil. He's the bass commander. After all, he's the drummer. I follow his lead. But yeah, so yeah, that's what I do. I mainly just play bass and help write as well and organize, you know, the songs together and stuff. One thing is Chris and I have worked together for a while, and we always work really well together. So it's always been kind of a great dynamic. But yeah, so that's me.
Awesome.
What up, guys? Jamil Aziz here. I play drums. I also help with BGVs on some of the songs. I think everybody's got a pretty equal part in the songwriting aspect. Like, Chris will come out with the initial idea of the song, like the initial part, the brains of it, and then we'll just kind of play from there once we get a little bit of the lyrics and some of the chord progressions. And we'll kind of, like, I'll bounce ideas off of him for what he wants for the drum parts. Jason will do the same for bass. Mm-hmm. Darian will also think of different melodic pieces that will be able to go back and forth with the lyrics. So we kind of help do all that as a collective. But yeah, so I'm drumming.
Awesome. Well, welcome, guys. When Darian said that he, you know, people say he leaves everything on stage, it's so true. Like, the first time I saw you guys, I think it was almost like 90 degrees, and you guys were playing.
I think it was. It felt like the amount of sweat was telling me it was, it was ridiculous.
It was definitely like mid to high 80s, but it didn't seem like, you know, by looking at you guys, it just seemed like you guys were just going for it anyway. And the drench, I mean, it was literally dripping so sweat all you guys, and you know, you love to see that, because, you know, like, there's so much music that right now is sort of soft. You know, if you listen to top 40 radio, everything has to be pretty. No one is like, and maybe live shows, they got to sweat, right? They're not robots, not yet anyway. But, you know, you really have to go out there and put it out there. And I think when you see that, it's what really keeps live music kind of going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really sure. The important part for me. George, do you have one of your...
I'd like to know, how did you guys initially form? Were you come from another band? Were you friends? How did that work out for you?
We can start with the two senior members of the band, the two that have been together the longest.
Yeah. You might have picked up my accent. I'm from England originally. I moved here to Nashville in 2011, and I played music over in England and wanted to get a band together. Mm-hmm. And put word out there, you know, via Craigslist.
Old Craigslist.
Yeah. And found Jason via that means. And it took, honestly, we knew each other for a while, went through a few failed things, because it takes a lot to get a band off the ground.
Yes.
And life kicks in. So we knew Jason. I knew Jason. I moved out to California even for a bit, but still kept in touch with Jason. And then I actually came back. And Jason would be going, he'd been out on tour with a band. He was in a band called Skytown Riot touring. I came back and ran into Jamil at a jam night. And then actually that's where trail went dry on my part, and it kind of transitioned over to Jamil meeting Dairy. Well, tell him how you met Dairy and how you knew about Dairy.
So I'd gone to a few events in Nashville that happened at the BB Kings, and it was like a once a month jam session called Soul Vibes. And it was very similar setup to how Loud Jams is, if you've heard of that jam session.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just, they'll come up with the set list of, like, they'll pick a theme. Like, one night was hits of 1975, R&B and funk hits. So they just pick 20 songs from there, and then the musicians will sign up for it a couple of weeks in advance so they can do their homework, learn the song, and then everybody comes together and plays it. But I had seen Darian at this event for probably a year, year and a half, and we had grown to know each other and hang out and all that stuff. And I was just like, well, the three of us, drums, bass, guitar, were looking for a vocalist. And I was like, y'all need to come see him. Y'all need to show up to one of these Soul Vibes so we can like see if he would be a good fit for us. Cause we had already had a handful of songs that we would thought that might mesh with his voice and his energy. So I was like, come on out. I think Jason was the only one that was able to make it to one of the shows. Was it the Michael Jackson night specifically that you came to, or?
No, yeah, I came to, came to the Prince night, and because you, and it was funny because like I didn't really want to go. I'm kind of the guy, I'm kind of a homebody at times, and I was like, fine, Jamil keeps asking me about this, I'll go, I'll support Jamil. And it's funny because like I couldn't find parking, which is why I hate going downtown. I couldn't find parking. Yeah. Finally found parking, and then as I walked in, literally Jamil started playing. I was like, this is perfect. That just worked out great. Nice. It was literally just started as I walked in. And then afterwards he came over and we were just talking for a bit, and he's like, you're gonna want to check out this next guy. And I was like, okay. And I just rolled my eyes like I always do, you know, like okay, yeah, yeah, whatever. You know, you hear that all the time in Nashville. Oh, they're so good. And then, you know, at times they are, a lot of times they're not as well. And so Darian goes up there. I don't remember what song he did, but like all the women in the place just lost their damn mind and they were like freaking out. And I was like, I want to play with him. Like, I don't know what we got to do, but I want to play with that guy. That's what I want to do. And Jamil's like, okay, I'll talk to him. And it worked out. It's been great.
That's awesome. And Darian, were you playing with an organized band or when they approached you?
Well, not, as far as original music goes, I've gotten my experience through these jam sessions and also different cover bands in the past. So that's how I've gotten my footing and working on my craft and honing it. And so when I was approached with this opportunity from Jamil, it was kind of like perfect timing, because I was saying at the end of that particular year, which was 2019, I was saying, you know, I mean, I'm always going to learn and I'm always going to grow, but I feel like I've mastered the aspect of being in a band, and I've mastered the aspect of being on stage and, you know, performing and that kind of thing. But I did not master or was ever in an original band kind of space.
Right.
So I think I vaguely remember myself saying that I wanted that to be my next goal, and for that to be my next part of my journey in music. And so when I was approached with that idea, yeah, it was kind of perfect timing. So I said, I'm going to go for it. And that was
the rest is history.
The rest is history. Yeah. It seems like
a great vibe immediately.
Yeah.
I pretty much knew that from the start, because Jamil, he is one of the best musicians that I know, and also just an amazing person. So I knew if he was a part of such an experience, then I knew it had to be good. So
when if he thought we were cool, then we were cool, basically.
Well, I appreciate it.
I mean, I think it's there's so many elements that have to go in with putting a band together. It's, you know, everything has to mesh as far as like the sound of the vocalist, the way the songs have been constructed, have to kind of go together, and then the personalities have to, I mean, it is like it is just a nightmare if one thing is off, and then just trying to get that one piece going can really bring the whole thing down. So yeah, you guys found that element. Were you immediately approaching with the idea of original music, like for Jamil, or to start off with covers, or
I just told Darian that we wanted to get together as a band, whether it was going to be covers or originals, but at least starting off is going to be
right.
Originals.
Yeah. So it always been originals is the mantra. Mm. I mean, we're an original band.
Right.
We do covers to fill out time so we can play places, because otherwise places won't hire you. So
we do have a lot of covers in set, but like Jason said, you don't get gigs around Nashville if you're not playing covers.
Correct.
So, I mean, you can get them, but the shows where you have to like book out a venue and rent it out and then build a bill, that kind of thing.
And that's really hard. And then trying to get people to go to the venue is, you know, another thing. So,
So sometimes covers are, you know, I always said it in the past that sometimes covers are like attention grabbers a little bit, you know?
Exactly.
And you kind of use them as an attention grabber. And then, you know, and then, oh, by the way, check out our stuff, you know, because then you tend to get more eyeballs in that aspect.
Yeah, it's funny because when we were playing in New York, and you know, we did all those CBGBs and all those clubs back then.
Nice.
They were not really any cover bands. They were very everything had to be original. They didn't even want you to play covers, which was bizarre. Because when I moved to New Jersey, and I went to a place, it was only covers.
Right.
It was only covers. They didn't want any originals, you know. But in New York, there was a period of time, and unfortunately, I don't think that's there anymore. We were there towards the end of, you know, we got to play CBGBs when it was really on the way.
When it was on, right.
It was like literally, it was like, and that place was a dump, but it was just nice to play it. And we played the Lions Den and all those clubs down there. But they were on their way out. It seemed like every few years one would just close out and stuff. And now I don't think Bleecker Street. I think that's just like old news. You know, we're in the history books. Did you guys have difficulty getting booked as far as, you know, with like bringing originals to the table? Did they tell you at some point we don't just play covers? Because downtown Nashville, I went there a week ago to see a friend of mine, and you can't walk anywhere without hearing, you know.
Yeah, it's all top
Bon Jovi. It was like,
right.
Every, matter of fact, one place played Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, and I'm not even joking, but like the next song that band over there played was Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
It was like, they both did Living on a Prayer.
Right. That's Broadway for you.
We do not do that. Honestly, I do think we have a bit of a hard time getting booked because of that. Because we kind of, when we do covers, we make them our own too.
Mm-hmm.
Like we'll do some covers that are like, we will do some covers that are pretty much standard, but that we particularly choose covers that aren't like Living on a Prayer or something like that.
Yeah. A little more obscure. We try to be a little bit more obscure with our covers.
Yes, closest we might get might be like Purple Rain.
Some of the Michael Jackson stuff as well. Like everybody knows that stuff, but that's like the crowd pleaser stuff, to like attention grabber.
Yeah.
Especially with Darian doing his thing, like every show it becomes a thing, you know, which obviously you want to avoid becoming a gimmick, but at the same time, he puts on a show. So, you know, even if we did other songs and there's other, I mean, he does different dances to different songs. Like that's just what he does, you know?
Yeah.
So, because one band I was in, we had a guitar player, and it became a gimmick after a while. So, you definitely have to avoid.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Even when we play like Michael Jackson, I mean, we slide it in a way that's kind of like you don't know it's coming, and it just got it in a medley. We like to do that. We'll like do a medley.
Do a lot of medleys. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that.
Slick transition, you know, just it's a bit different.
I think when you guys did The Way You Make Me Feel, I think it was. You can't tell that's what it is when you guys start it. Mm-hmm. It comes in when the vocals come in and you start recognizing the, you know, the lyrics and some of the melody lines, but it really, you guys make it your own. It's awesome stuff.
That's awesome. Now, when you guys are playing night to night, do you have like certain songs where you do a lot more improv, or do you play them the same way? How do you approach your songs from night to night?
See, that's a good question, because we use a lot of tracks for a lot of things. So as far as improvising, you have to be kind of careful with that.
Right.
I think there's a couple songs that we don't use it. And the reason we use tracks, for anybody listening, it's not to like, you know, because we're not good enough to do this or that. It's literally to add like the extra layer of And also we don't have too many keyboard parts. So instead of paying a keyboardist, you just have them play it basically in the background on a track. So that's why we do a lot of that. And I don't know, it definitely like fattens the sound up a lot. And plus it's a part of our sound. Like we have a lot of like dance music type stuff that's in it, whether it's drum and bass or maybe even a little dubstep type stuff. And that's what kind of makes us a little bit more interesting. Cause we might take like a song that, you know, but make it drum and bass, you know? And then it's nice. Like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, nice. I know this song, but I kind of like this version better, you know?
Yeah. We'll do a remix. We'll do a remix. And right. So them all them synths and pads and processed beats, we'll put them on tracks. Mm-hmm. But a lot of bands do it. They're in the same format as what we are. Mm-hmm. Like where you have just drums, bass, guitar, mm-hmm. and then like a vocal.
Yeah. A lot well, of one thing... I'll say one thing that we do that is kind of improv. Like we do like extend some songs out, and then we like we'll do like solos or like little jam parts or stuff like that. Like we do, whatchamacallit? I'm trying to think of the Police song that we're doing. I can't think of it right now. Yeah, Master Tenabob. Oh, I can't believe I couldn't think of that song. I'm brain farting right now. So bad. But we do like a reggae jam. Basically in the middle of that, which is so cool. And it's such an interesting thing to do. And that's because that song, you're not on tracks. You can just be a little bit more free with things. Mm-hmm. So when we have a chance, we definitely jam because I mean, number one, it extends the set. Number two, it just makes it a little more interesting too. Cause I've noticed like when we do those jams, people in the crowd, like really get into it, which is
cool. Oh, absolutely. And special things happen sometimes with those jams too, where you all of a sudden you're in the middle of it and you're like, holy cow, this is completely gelling and working beautifully. Right.
Yeah.
Like heaven from what is it? The movie Soul from Disney.
Yes.
Everybody's in like a different plane.
Exactly.
I love that movie.
Great movie.
That was such a good movie. I saw it with the kids, man. It was just like just a great message, and it really inspires you as a musician.
Yeah,
you know, just to know that there's a higher purpose of why you do what you do.
Right.
And I love that element of it. But with the track, when we like Rush, right? We were just talking about Rush earlier, and so obviously, you know, there's a lot of triggering, and that Geddy Lee with his feet, he hit these trigger things, and then
insane, you know, which I
Neil used to hit all these trigger things and activate all this stuff. You know, I mean, that was like that was a little bit crazy, but I think you're right. It fills it up so nicely, you know, and you know, I don't think that even like it has to be like, oh, by the way, we use, you know what I mean? We use it because it's yours.
Yeah,
taking records that are famous.
Our programming that we do on there.
Yeah. Programming. You pieced it together.
Right.
Yeah,
so it is yours.
That's what I was saying about so many bands that use it. When I think we think back to like way back in the 70s when Pink Floyd and The Who were using it. You can do so much. You can have voices coming in from here. You can have airplanes flying. You can create a different dynamic.
Yeah, it adds a whole other different dimension to the band.
Yeah, that we want to do for that show. We want to make it a show. And recently we thought about having getting piano playing, but like, it's only so much you can do when you've got a piano, you know, then we'd only use them on like two songs. So what's the point?
Right.
So it's just better to run with the tracks and we're happy with it. And
I think the biggest key, and this is for anybody out there too that's listening that wants to be in a band or be a musician or anything, is don't rely on it. As long as you're not relying on the track to be the show, then you're good to go, usually.
Right. Yeah, I have a disaster story. So there was a guy who played bass. He played bass. I managed a few bands back in the day, and there was an 11-piece Latin band. They played some Santana stuff, but they also play some straight up salsa music.
Nice.
And there was a bass player there. And the bass player is, you know, a big dude. And I would hear the track and it sounded great. I didn't know that they were playing to an actual bass recording on top of, you know, with everything. It was triggered. So what I was hearing was not his actual bass. So somebody, asked me, we need a bass player for some gig. So I said, you got to get this dude because this dude is on point. You know, this guy's great. He plays in this band that I'm working with. And so he showed up and he was really bad. And
I had a feeling that was where that was going. It's like,
and they called me up and they were like, where'd you, you know, and of course, you know, my reputation is kind of like, I was like, no, he plays really well. And then later on, I found out why. And I thought he just had an off night, but I was like, damn, that's a really off night. I mean, for them to say he could not play well, you know, that was like really bad. But so the main instruments, if you're using them on top, you know, you're using the technology to enhance and to fatten up the sound, and that's the way you do it. You don't obviously put a drum track and then just have Jamel just like.
Well, what they do is they allow us to like play produced parts. I've always said right. that.
Yeah.
We don't have to like, I don't know, when we're playing like a drum and bass, which I always keep referring to that because that's our mantra, kind of like a lot of times, come back to drum and bass because that's what our sound is, the energy, the EDM elements. You can't put the, I call it the jingle jangle, which is like the classic sort of breakbeat sound. You can't really always do that on drum kit. You know, you have to have it on a track to make it feel that way. And it points your ears in that direction. Oh, that's drum and bass versus just it sounding like Foo Fighters.
Yeah, sometimes putting like stuff bass on stuff and all that, like it really makes it a difference. So
So John and I, you know, again, John and I are cousins, so we grew up together. We listened to the same music, you know, classic rock and all that. That's kind of what we were into. So, and a lot of our influences in the band were pretty much the same, like Rush, U2, you know, we had those types. So I'm just curious, you know, what are your guys' influences? What were you guys, you know, what did you guys grow up listening to? And what, you know, do you guys have similar influences or is it completely like different?
That's the cool thing about this band is that I think we're all very different. Okay. I mean, Jamil and I are probably very similar because Jamil listens to like everything. I mean, so does Darian. I mean, really, we all do. But like Jamil will listen to metal, but then he'll also listen to like some random type of music you've never even heard of. You know what I mean? So you just never know. For me, as far as my influences go, I was very classic rock as well. My dad was, you know, I had listened to the Beatles. I listened to Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, all those like bands out there. But a big influence would be The Who for me because John Entwistle is probably one of my favorite bass players.
Yep. Man.
I was a big, I like Rush a lot too. I'm not like a huge Rush fan, but I do like them a lot. The Beatles obviously as well is a huge influence. So it's like music like that. And then obviously in my teenage years, that's the pop punk years basically. That was the Green Day and Blink-182, Sum 41, you know, all that teen stuff because I was a teenager at that time. That's where I started picking up bass. I would play, and a lot of times I would clearly be playing that and then I'd be playing like the Ramones as well. Like that's how I learned bass stuff. And then, yeah. I just took it from there.
Nice.
Awesome.
Darian?
So yeah, like Jason said, like I listen to everything as well, but I always say there are, I have a wide range of like favorite artists, but there's four that made the first and biggest impression on me since being brought into this world. So first and foremost, Michael Jackson. And then there's Stevie Wonder that I love. I love Whitney Houston because
she's what can you say?
And then Prince as well. And those four for me were like the first four geniuses.
Yeah.
Right? And from there, that's like so many great artists that I love, from Al Jarreau to Luther Vandross to Earth, Wind and Fire. Jill Scott. Erykah Badu, Lettucey, Journey, and just—I mean, the list really goes on and on. Like I could just go down, and I listen to any and everything. Like for me, I grew up first on, you know, soul and R&B and pop music, but great music is great music no matter the genre. So I gladly listen to metal. I listen to jazz. I listen to classical, even opera, rock, any of the hip hop. Just I love everything because there are so many things that I pay attention to, and I really intently listen to music for all the nuances and sounds and why this melody works this way. How does this melody make one feel? How does this drum pattern just make you want to move? Or how do these lyrics make you just feel some kind of way? So, yeah, my range of influences as well as the kind of music I like is really ongoing.
I can definitely say the same. I probably have on my younger years when I was first growing up, I was probably closer to Darian, and then I morphed closer towards Jason. So of course, growing up, black household in the South, of course, is going to be Earth, Wind and Fire, Cameo, Steve Wonder, people like that, the Shy Lights, Delphonics, like people like that. And then I got to So I'm the baby of the group. I'm the only 90s baby. When I was growing up, like, I was like Boys to Men and all the like 90s groups were really the 90s R&B was kicking off. But once I got to middle school, one of my best friends in fifth grade introduced me to rock music. One of my best friends was actually, that was the first diverse school that I went to, because I went to predominantly black schools. But my white friend John, he literally showed me System of a Down, Linkin Park, so like it went that direction, and I loved it, like everything that he showed me. I think it was like Aerials or BYOB from System of a Down was one of the first songs he showed me. Meteora album from Linkin Park, just Greatest Hits from Toto, like Georgie Porgy, stuff like that. So like my mind was just like, holy crap, I need more of this in my life. So and then as Jason was saying, like once you get to your teenage years and you start kind of branching out and figuring out exactly how you are. So like that was My Chemical Romance had showed up, Five Finger Death Punch showed up. So I started getting more and more harder.
Angsty
years.
I also love anime. So like Japanese music, J-pop, J-rock, K-pop, all of that started popping up. I love salsa. Country music. So like my three favorite country musics, Zac Brown Band, Rascal Flatts, and Chris Stapleton. And I've been with them for like a while. So like all of my tastes are everywhere. But right before I joined this band, I've been in a reggae and hip hop band for probably 13 years now that's been playing in Nashville. So Bob Marley, Gregory Isaacs,
Jimmy Cliff,
Stapleton, all those guys. So we've been playing all of them. So just we just bring all of that stuff together and
it however we as can. You can see, it's like a big melting pot. It's like
big
respect for like a lot of different kinds of music. And I would say, just to consolidate it for Soul Chest, particularly influence of what like what we're trying to do, because it is important when there is that much sort of spread to try and not be to too like, oh, this song sounds like that and this song sounds like that. What's coming out, like you said earlier, John, there is a sound. There is a sound coming out. And I think Darian's vocals coming through with that soul, but I love that soul aspect. All them soul artists that you mentioned, I mean, I love them all too. You know, I grew up on that, all that kind of stuff. But with the throbbing bass lines and the rock drumming from Jamil and Jason, them elements come through there. And then with my guitar, for me, it's like a lot of influences that I try and keep it contemporary. You know, when it comes to guitar, you got to kind of make it sound, you can't just be shredding all the time. So like, I like a lot of the Edge, Coldplay, British influences are all over my music all the time. But what we try and do too is fuse this EDM with it too, because no one's done. I've been trying to do it for years. I got into drum and bass music and it like grabbed me, and like no one's fused rock and drum and bass. They're like similar elements, high energy dance music, high energy rock. And I heard some remixes where you can take melodic songs and make these amazing remixes, and it's like, no, imagine if you did that as a band. That is really kind of what we're trying to do.
Nice.
Like, and you can hear it. You know, like we were talking when you played that last place that I went to, where it's like, it's a kind of like, it's sort of like a work in progress in the sense where you can hear what you want to accomplish, you know. And yeah, I mean, you, because of the influences, you know, and Darian's voice, R&B style, but he does rock. Like this, some of the songs that it's just like a rock singer, you know what I mean? So there's this kind of this element of you know, I think of the band, remember Living Color, that band?
I thought same too.
It's sort of like an element of that feel, you know. And then there's something else that really it's hard for me to identify, but there's something else mixed in there with it. And it just, I mean, when I hear it, I know that it's different, you know, that's you know, the ear, you know, we've been listening to music. I've been listening to music since I was a kid. You know, I mean, I've been playing since I was 9 years old. So I love music, everything, all different styles of music. So when I hear something that's just different, you know what I mean? I can tell immediately, oh, okay, that doesn't, I know what they're all playing. They're playing instruments I'm familiar with. They're singing, which I'm familiar with. But when it comes together, it sounds like a different thing. You know, and that to me was actually why, you know, I started following you guys and just grateful that you guys are here. I want to ask you a little bit about, I want to ask Darian actually, frontman, because that always fascinates me, because it's like, to me, it seems like the hardest thing to just, because not only do you have to put everything out there vocally, but you also have to be, you have to also talk, you have to kind of like interact with the audience. You have to remember to make announcements of stuff. If you know, I mean, I know you guys all jump in also and you know, make announcements on stuff as well. But as the lead guy, you're the just naturally our eyes go to whoever is on the middle of the stage. That's just the way we're built. When you see a band, our eyes just go, who's front? And then of course, for me and George, you know, George goes like this to see who the drummer is.
Yeah, exactly. Who's playing those drums, man?
And I was looking this direction to see who's the guitarist. Exactly. But generally, your eyes is always at, you know, how do you, how was your training on that? You said you did some cover bands, but is it something that you did specifically that, did you ever have any fear? Was it just a natural thing where you're just like, boom, I got this?
That is a very good question. Surprisingly, it just from the training from the past bands that I've been in, and I, you know, when I tell the story of how I've gotten to this point, it's funny because as a kid, I was shy, almost painful. Never really got out in front of anyone or performed in front of anyone except maybe a couple of times in school, and only one time that I've done it by myself when I was 5 years old. But other than that, like, I would sing and dance all the time, but it was under my parents' carport, and that was my stage.
Okay.
Nice. You know, I imagined my audience, and in my yard, I had like three trees, and the way that the branches came together, it felt like I was in an arena or a stadium or something. And when the nightfall would come and the streetlights would shine, and they would shine through the leaves, it looks like concert lights. So that was my stage.
Nice.
I didn't really do anything as an adult until just having fun rediscovering my love for singing through karaoke. So it was from karaoke into eventually realizing, oh, I do have a voice and I do have this ability. Let's see what I can do with it. And then the cover band experiences started to come, which helped me to formulate my style and being able to be on stage and command, you know, as a front man. And it's funny you mentioned, because you are right, and people are naturally drawn to who's in the middle and who's in front. And I'm very mindful of that in the greatest way possible, because yes, I know I'm front man. And then I would actually go away a lot of times, you know, when the musicians are doing their thing, because for one, with me being in the middle, sometimes I'm blocking Jamil and I'm like,
it's always the problem.
Yeah.
That's the reason why there's not that many pictures of me.
Exactly. So with me being mindful of that, I go away because I also want to see the musicians, because it is not about me. And as I say, yes, I have the natural instinct to do my thing, give my energy, give my all. But the musicians, these great people, they help me. They give me that extra push. So I'm like, y'all, pay attention to these guys as well, because they are dope and they deserve all the attention as well.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. You mentioned the imagery that just came to me with you when you, the tree and the lights. And I mean, there's some music video in there for you guys somewhere. Like, I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know,
I'm thinking back to like similar things from when I were a kid.
Yeah, you know what
singing,
I mean?
I remember talking about inanimate objects, like singing into a microphone that were one of the flowers that were on the mantelpiece.
Yep.
Yeah. Remember singing trying to sing like Liam Gallagher like this into a microphone. And then of course wanting to play guitar before I could play guitar, I went into a talent show. playing cardboard cutout guitars that we made.
Oh, nice.
I remember we were like 11. You know, just when there's it's almost like in you. It's like it's trying to get at.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, definitely it's something that you can explore, and I think it also inspires others, because I think a lot of people have those types of memories when it's, you know, that they're in being artists, especially singers and musicians. You know, I mean, we had the, you know, I had the broom or whatever I was playing. I used to take a shoebox and put rubber bands around the shoebox, and then, you know, if you go like that on the open space, it will go, you know, it sounded really terrible. But my grandfather finally was like, okay, we got to get you something. It was something that I always remembered, you know, and I think that's really what's important about it. I want to start getting a little bit philosophical.
All right. That means Chris is going to talk for about 3 hours. So you talk to him. Hope you're ready.
It must be related to John.
Yeah. I love the conversation, because, you know, it's an interesting thing, you know, and here we go. Right? It's an interesting thing, because you're born not knowing how to do a certain thing, and then you learn how to do this thing that impacts somebody else. Not everyone can do it, you know, so there is that sort of not that you're that we feel we're special, but we're different. You know, there's something running through us that wants to come out and wants to inspire others, and it's coming out through these instruments. Can you guys, like, in, you know, one by one, tell us a little bit about, like, what does it mean to you to want to communicate to an audience? Like, what's the real point that you want others to feel when you're playing?
I'll say for me, it's the one thing I loved about starting this band. This is something that, you know, we don't shy away from. We obviously know we're half white and half black. Like, we see that. And what I love about it is my whole goal was to, like, have a diverse crowd. Because my whole entire career, I played rock, and it's mainly white people. Right. Like, that's right. All it is, just right. Straight up white people all the
George
time.
And I are Puerto Ricans, and we were really in the minority playing rock.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So my thing is, like, music is a universal language. You literally don't even have to speak our language to enjoy what we're doing, which is great. You know, like, if we were actors and doing movies, like, you're not going to know what's going on in the movie if you don't understand what's going on. But music, it doesn't matter. And that's what's awesome to me, and that's why it's such a cool thing to do. But that was something that I always thought was interesting, and especially once we got the band together and we got everybody together, and it just kind of worked out the dynamics, and we have all our different friends and we all come from different places. Like, the crowds are becoming more and more diverse. And that was something I've always wanted to do, because, you know, we should all just be together and just enjoy music. That's really it. It's super simple.
I love it. Who's next?
So for me, my mom was a elementary school music teacher. So there's all kind of random instruments at the house, between different hand drums, djembe, xylophones, piano at the house and all that stuff. And I just always loved playing. And I'm like the youngest of like four grandkids on my mom's side, and everybody played something. So my older brother also played drums. My two cousins played wind instruments, like trumpet, saxophone. But we would always get together and just mess around and learn how to play on the piano. So I always loved just getting together and making music or playing music with everybody else, whether we had an audience or not. Because I will, like, if I know John has seen it with our performances, if you see me playing, I'm not looking at the crowd. I'm literally smiling and looking at Chris and Jason the entire time.
Yes.
Just having a great time. So we can have three people in the audience, 10,000, and I'm still going to be smiling, having a good time.
Yeah, I do have a lot of pictures of Jamil smiling.
Yeah,
that's a lot. We
have I was like, this guy is great. He loves what he's doing.
He just loves life, man. That's why I love it.
That's
like,
why it's awesome.
I don't always love life, so I need somebody like that.
It's a good balance.
Yeah, I'm like, smile at me or something, man. I need it.
I love that.
What about you, Darian? What do you think?
For me, gosh, like, Jason touched on it, how, you know, how we have this diverse audience, and it's all about the audience for me. Because, well, first, we as musicians, we want to satisfy ourselves, our desires, hone our craft, and, you know, we want to be pleased with what we're doing for ourselves. But, you know, for me, like, personally, with them or with other musicians that I perform with, when I step on stage, it's not about myself anymore. It goes beyond myself, because what I am doing and what we are doing is a service to people. There's already so much madness in this world, so much craziness, so much negativity, so much this, that, and the other. For at least the moment that, hopefully for the entire duration of our show, but at least for a song or two, we want to bring escapism, you know, forget about anything that's been going on. And I personally want to see smiles. I want to see people moving. I want to see people singing along. And for me, because I always say, because I don't always pay attention, I'm like, you know, with Jamil, like, when you're just really into it, you don't really look at the audience that much. I'm noticing them, but I'm just not intently there, because when I'm on stage, I lose control while being in control at the same time. And it is the greatest feeling. And I feel like that's the moment when the stars are aligned, the universe, the higher power, however you want to call it, is at work. And I'm just gone enjoying myself. And I'm giving that energy to the audience. The audience is giving it back to me. The musicians are giving it back to me. And it is this cycle. And the cycle is not vicious. It is beautiful. It is continuing. It is evolving. It is growing. It is blossoming. It's becoming better. And I'm just on this higher plane at this point. So when I feel that good, I want to make sure that the audience feels that good. Because like I said, it's not about me. It's about the audience. And I want that joy to radiate all over.
I love that.
I think for me, the music is, I grew up in a musical household. My dad just put records on and turned TV off and told us to just figure it out, you know, when we're listening to, and not jump too much because it would bounce record player. we were trying to dance around. So I grew up with a really great upbringing on that. But there's been multiple times in my life where I've tried to get away from music, and I could have gotten away from music, but it always found its way back. I've stopped trying to resist it now. I really have, and just sort of embraced it. Yeah.
It's funny.
I don't know. It's just
like that movie quote of just like, I'm trying to get out, but they just keep pulling.
I know. John
and I were having that exact conversation literally a few days ago.
Yeah. Same exact
conversation. I mean, they're, you know, not, first of all, you know, we in our heads were like, I've always said there's nothing like being on stage. There is nothing, for me personally, there is nothing like being on stage. It is the ultimate, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it's funny because you get that adrenaline, that nervous feeling first, and then you get on and it's like, boom. And it's just, and then you get like Darian said, that feedback loop between the audience and you, and it's the ultimate in energy. Yeah. And now that, like, I haven't played live in a while, but I miss it every single day. And John and I were talking about it, like, oh my God, we would love to get back on stage and play and do all these things, you know? And for you guys that are doing this now, you know, my little tiny piece of advice is just enjoy every second of it. Yeah, and absolutely, you know, just, you know, because I mean, you don't know what's going to happen down the line, but at the end of the day, it's a feeling that's going to be with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it, you know?
And Chris, I'm sorry. I know you were, in there, but I also want to say we stopped because we did lose one of our members of our band. He passed away suddenly with a brain aneurysm thing going. And so he was gone. So it kind of ended our run. So that's why we're so passionate about artists and just saying, like, look, man, it could be Wednesday and you guys are planning a show on Saturday, and on Thursday you find out your friend is gone, and that's
right.
It
right
that's, you know, exactly. I've said that for a while.
Yeah, like, let's go, you know,
life's too short. I mean, what absolutely. Else what else are you gonna do in life, seriously? I mean,
I've said that a million times too. Yeah. Like, what else are you gonna do?
You know, watch TV? Everyone's done everything. You know, everyone's been doctors and things like that. There's plenty of great people that can do that. But when it comes to art, making records, I love playing on stage, but I also like creating records because you live forever.
Yeah, right.
You live forever. Exactly. And that's something else that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. You're creating something that lasts forever. That's and it's art and it's unique. So that there, for me, is a spiritual thing. As you were saying about philosophical, there's something spirit. There's something going on, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Me, yeah, it's a calling for sure.
Yeah. And it definitely is spiritual. You know, sometimes I'll think I'll see like these 3-year olds playing Beethoven on the keyboard, you know, on the piano. And I'm like,
yeah, that's
I mean, if you look at that and you think that he just learned at the age of 1 how to play really well, and suddenly he practiced for 2 years and now he's 3 years old and he's playing Beethoven. If that's, you have to understand that there's something else at play. You know, we may not understand it fully, but I definitely know that when we play, there's a something that happens to us spiritually, and that actually translates to others, you know, or maybe that's not the right word, but it basically goes, give me a good word, anybody.
The vibration
out to others, and
exactly,
yeah, and they feel it, you know, and that's one of the reasons why live music will never go away, despite, you know, we listen to some of the top 40 things, and I want to touch on this briefly. The top 40 stuff, and we did a show where there was an article at The Atlantic where they talked about 70%. I don't know if you guys read this article, but it's an interesting article. 70% of all music that streams today is old music. And the article was basically called, "Is Old Music Killing New Music?" Mm. So most of everything that you hear streaming, you'll hear a teenager know who Michael Jackson is, who Madonna is, who, and then the songs that are coming out now, new, have a very short lifespan. Yep. As far as streaming is concerned, the greats, like all the ones that Darian just mentioned, those are not going anywhere.
Right.
They're gonna be there. More people are continuing. Why do you think they sample all of them? Because it's like, right, something is happening.
You hit every commercial, you hear them.
Yeah, and I think something is happening. I want to get you guys' take on it, that the industry is kind of doesn't want to really spend the time nurturing artists anymore. They kind of want to go to TikTok and get who's got 1 million views and put that person on, put a little money. As soon as they die out, send them off on the road if they can, or they just die off and on to the next thing. How do you guys feel about that? The way the industry is kind of, it's like the best time to be an artist, to be a musician. And it's also like the roughest time because, you know, it's like because you have more control over your own stuff. But at the same time, there's this machine that's kind of creating doo-doo.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is it's just different. It's a completely different time that we're in now. And that's something I've actually talked to a lot of people, a lot of other musicians, whether it's my former bandmates or whatever, like ad nauseum. And the biggest thing is, and this is where things get frustrating when it comes to the music industry, I've been burned 1 million times. That's why these guys are probably a little more like excited about stuff than I am. And they're like, I feel like they're dragging my corpse around sometimes. And I'm just like, I don't want to be here, but then I'm like, what else am I going to be doing? You know? So, but no, it's great. Cause then I'm like, at first I feel that way. And then it's like working out at the end of it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did this.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's interesting you mentioned that. Cause it was something I told the guys at one time. I said, you know, Queen, for example, I think is still one of the biggest artists on Spotify.
They
have over multiple songs over 1 billion listens to it, where you have Taylor Swift, who doesn't have, I don't think, one that's over 1 billion. She has a few that's over, you know, a few hundred million maybe, or something like that, which is still amazing. But it's like, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. They don't you don't have anything that's built up anymore. Fan bases aren't built like they used to be. Exactly. Back in the day, you used to build the fan base up and then they followed through for everything and you literally had legit fans, where now you can literally become famous overnight just by doing a TikTok, like you said, or some type of YouTube video. You go viral. That's the biggest thing nowadays. And the quicker, I've learned this, the quicker you get famous, the quicker you lose fame.
Absolutely.
That's just how it goes. It's there's almost something to that. You know, it's like, it's because you didn't earn it enough, really. I mean, you just basically, you got it one night and now it's not going to be there anymore. Yeah. That's the biggest thing with it.
I've observed that thing about what you were saying, John, about the artists that you see, these big name artists, then the people who are playing stadiums and stuff like that. There's not many new acts doing that.
No,
there's really not. They're all old ones. And I'm like, they're all new ones. But I think another thing too, as well, if you look, pay attention, I'd be intrigued to see that same article and what percentage are actually bands as well. That the music industry is now, it's a lot easier to, you know, develop a solo artist, and everyone seems to be solo artist.
Right.
And that's been one of the frustrating things for me in Nashville personally, is that you know, it's kind of hard to be, yes, it's another layer of complexity in Nashville being in a band, because everyone's kind of like playing in all these other bands and there's no solidarity. I've often likened Nashville to being like a big giant musical orgy. You know, there's no, I don't know, I say solidarity, but no faithfulness to one thing. Like when I was back in England, it was like, you get with your mates and one of you can't really play that good and one of you can play a little bit better, and it kind of forms its own thing and makes its own artistic sound. And I think that that's something that is missing, like the art in it. But honestly, I feel like for us, generally speaking, we try, and I know them for myself, we try to be self-actualized. And by that, I mean, we're having a damn fun time anyway. Regardless, let's have a good time. You can get onto charts, you can make it all that. But a lot of them artists who make it big time, they reminisce about times when they were playing old dive bars and they were like, they want to go back to them times, when a simpler time. So it's like, just enjoy it for a moment. Because like you were saying earlier, it could be gone. So it's like, be self-actualized. Don't be dependent on that kind of stuff for your happiness. It's my, and I know our philosophy about it all, because we all have a very good time when we're together.
That's great advice too, just for musicians as well. Like I remember when I was like 15, 16 years old, when I started doing this, I was a big fan of this group that was in where I was from. And they were, you know, getting bigger and bigger and all that other stuff. And I remember he told me, he's like, don't get into this for the money. Don't get into this for fame or anything else. Like, only do this because you have to do this, or that you want, you like, that's what you think about. That's what you're passionate about. And at first I was like, you know, being a teenager, I was like, yeah, whatever. But then as I've gotten older, it's rang really true. I mean, if you're in this to like try to make a lot of money, you're in the wrong business.
Because just having that attitude automatically kind of puts you out of that business. You know what I mean? Because that's not really what the business is about. You know, it's, I mean, that is there. Like I said before, there's a machine that kind of put together, and it kind of cranks out these, you know, spits out these artists like Tic Tacs. And then when they get sucked up, and I'm trying to be all metaphoric, but when they get all sucked up and dried out, they disappear and they're gone, you know. But these artists that we all love, they worked just like Chris said. You know, they got together. Maybe one guy wasn't. I mean, Metallica didn't know how to play their instruments when they came up with the name Metallica.
Right.
You know, they had the name first, and then they're like, maybe we should learn how to play. And then they got in and they got to play. U2 was a horrible band in the beginning. They don't talk about it themselves, how they just couldn't really play that well. They just worked at it. But there was that solidarity between those guys that they decided they were going to go out and do something, you know. So I think in Nashville is very interesting. Like you said, Chris, I don't really know much because I just got here. Like, I've been here like 8 months or 9 months. But what I've seen is just a lot of people trying to get into the right thing, and not, this is an outside view, but from what I feel, everyone trying to get into the right situation, but not necessarily making the situation for themselves what they want it to be. Just trying to find writers, and they wanted to
everything's like modular.
Lead singer.
Oh, like, I'm a soloist. I'm going to build a band behind me. I need a module. Right. I need this bass module. I need a drum module. Just build it like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's interesting. But you guys are doing it the right way, you know, by really just, you know, really building it, you know, building it from the bottom up and really putting in the pieces and putting in the work as well. And I love the dynamic between all of you too. Jason is hilarious. You know, they're dragging me up. And then Jamil is always smiling. Darren is just dancing. Chris is like philosophy. I mean, you guys have that. You have all the elements.
I feel like you nailed all our personalities. That was like really well done. That was well played.
Like almost kind of like a weird Justice League type of thing.
Yeah. Well, it all meshes together because it all works.
Yeah. You know? That's what I was saying. That it just
nothing
really
conflicts really. Because I remember you asked before we got on this, you were like, is there any like times where you guys maybe fight or you like there's anything like that? Honestly, no. And it's kind of crazy. And I know it sounds wild. But it's because number one, I think we all respect each other a lot, and that's part of it. And then on top of it, we're not taking this overly too serious to the point where there's so much pressure on you. Where I had problems with bandmates in the past was because there was a lot of pressure on us. And since there's not, And even if there it became a situation where we did have a lot of pressure on it, on us, we at the end of the day, we'd be like, we're not going to forget where we came from. So right. Like,
right.
It doesn't matter if we became the most famous band in the world or not. It's like we're still going to be the same and stay as humble as we are. So.
And the joy of it is that you can look across the stage and see someone that was there when you guys were starting. You know,
exactly.
We're putting it together. So that never goes away.
Right.
Right.
It kind of reels you back in.
Yeah. Means a lot. It means a lot. I mean, I like that dynamic, you know, when we write songs and everything will always be listed on records that written by Soul Chess.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes life so much more fun. Yeah. You don't have to worry about things.
Oh, did Chris write this? But I did this, but this is who cares, man.
We all do it as a collective.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think Rush did that early on. I think they just signed. Yep. They were just three ways. It was like
REM was another band that did that. That was really smart. Yeah.
You did it. Foo Fighters have done it. You look on records and they just say written by Foo Fighters. You've written by YouTube.
It just makes life so much easier.
Yeah, you know? It does. It's not worth the stress of trying to grab that dollar.
Roses, Nightmare, and all those other bands. All right, so we're at an hour. So I'm sorry I kept you guys this long, but
we're talkers. Every single one of us are talkers.
This has been awesome. So there are people that are going to be watching this, musicians. So, you know, if we can, maybe you can elect one of you, or maybe all of you can give a brief, kind of like. You know, we've been through a really rough 2 years, you know, the last, especially for artists, you know, especially for musicians that are live performers. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice do you give, or what kind of hope do you give to someone out there that's kind of like in the situation? Maybe they're in a band that they're trying to get out of, or maybe they're in a band that they, one person's not working hard enough. And, you know, what advice can we try to put together for them, for the audience?
If it's something that you're passionate about, just go ahead and give it your all. Go ahead and just, like, if there is somebody that you feel isn't pulling their weight, be transparent. Don't be mean. Like, y'all got to kick them out of the bed. I know that I want this from us. If you think you are in it to the same seriousness that we are, then let's go ahead and just try and kick it up a little bit if you have the time. If you don't really have the time, then we understand. We can try and go another direction or whatever. But we literally started Soul Chess December 19. Mm-hmm. Like, we found Darian. He came to his first rehearsal December 19. And then we were rehearsing in my garage once a week, songwriting, putting covers together, stuff like that. And we got into a studio. What studio was it?
Sound Kitchen.
Yeah. So we were there for a little bit, and
not that long though. Most are actually done at home these days. That's one great thing. Yeah.
Like the rehearsal space.
Sorry. Oh yeah, the rehearsal. Yeah, I know.
Diamond Studios.
We were there for
6 weeks, and then like there was a note on the door that was just like, "Hey, we're shutting down because of COVID."
The tornado is the first reason why we lost that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The tornado started everything, and then after that.
Man, what a rough
2 months rough into time. Us literally starting a band.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, we still want to do this. We're still passionate about it. We're still actually really good friends. So even if we're not going to specifically focus on it, like, we still want to stay in touch. Yeah. We want to keep music possible. Let's stay safe. Let's figure out how we want to do it. If you want to still rehearse in the garage, wear your mask, do all that stuff, like, just come in, like, whatever our level is. But yeah, if you're passionate about it, just make it happen. You literally only live once. Like, why would you hesitate if it's something that you love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So whether it's art, or if you're passionate about politics or passionate about a doctor or whatever, but if it's specifically art, yeah, just do it. Make it by any means.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so true that we let the outside world and sometimes outside people dictate how we should feel about something that we're passionate about. And even if it changes it just this much, you know, someone makes a comment or they make some kind of suggestion,
right,
or something, that then it really just shifts your whole, but you know, the intention that you had and the goals, you know. So you really do have to have, what Jamel said, just almost like tunnel vision in a sense, you know, and just say, this is what I'm doing. And somebody says, yeah, but don't you think that, shut up, That person over there says something, hey, shut up, and just doing that until you find your way. But listen, guys, you guys are awesome. I really appreciate you guys taking the time, over an hour to hang out with us. I'm here in Nashville, so you guys, obviously, whatever you guys need from me, if you guys, I do my photos. I still have photos that I have to send you guys, so I apologize.
It's been, nice.
Okay. Look forward to seeing it.
We got some good photos.
It's content. We need content.
Yeah, there you go.
And anything else you guys need, always reach out to me. I'd be honored to like help you guys on your journey and stuff. So definitely keep me posted on stuff.
I appreciate it.
George lives in New York, so he's not.
New York. Maybe we'll make it out to your way at some point.
Hey, if you do, I'd love to see you guys.
I played there once at Gramercy Theater, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite places I've ever played. So.
Absolutely. If you guys come out, let me know. I'll definitely
go see
you.
Playing everywhere eventually, so eventually, George, you'll see them.
Definitely.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Hang on tight. Don't leave just yet, but we're just going to close out the show. Thank you again. Appreciate you guys, and we'll see you all very, very soon. Take care.
Hey.
Soul Chess, everybody.
Soul Chess. Everybody check them out.
Wow.
Man, those awesome, guys, man. Awesome. What a great group of guys.
You know, and it's funny because talking to them, you kind of also felt that a little bit of the dynamic that we had because we were all, us four. We're kind of that in that same, or us five, I should say, because I say four now. But us five, we're kind of in that same, we kind of talked about things and we had our little discussions, but we never really fought. We always kind of loved each other. And it was like the music is really what mattered and stuff. And just seeing these guys doing it, it just makes me happy. And it's why, we do what we do and why I'm trying to do more of this.
Absolutely.
But yeah. All right, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate you. Next week, I'm going to be actually off to Seattle for some stuff, but we'll come back again. We are going to have a show, but it's going to be a recorded show. Same time, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then the following weekend, who do we have?
Following weekend, we got some great guests coming up. Following week, actually, we have David Sanchez.
Yes, David Sanchez.
Keyboard player for Eric Clapton and Sting.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun conversation.
Yes.
We'll talk about stuff. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate y'all. See y'all soon. And as always, peace.
Peace.